Last time we looked at a lot of the woes in the Bible. The Hebrew word is oi, oi, over and over again. Jesus kept saying, woe to you, you're stopping people from going into the gates of heaven. Woe to you, you cheat widows, and then evict them from their houses under the streets and call a prayer meeting. Woe to you, you make converts, but not converts to get salvation, converts to be rich cheaters like you do. And then Jesus' own words, you'll become sons of hell. Original word is Gehenna. You make all kinds of tricky legal loopholes in order to tell people that they did not do what is best. You'll give 10% of your garden spices, but don't obey the main Bible commandments about faithfulness and responsibility to others. You look like dirty dishes, clean on the outside, dirty on the inside. You're like the cemetery, all decorated up, but fully dead. You will kill the prophets who were sent to you. And he's going to talk about new prophets, which will be like the Apostle Peter, whom they will kill. So then he says, you have killed all the prophets from Abel in Genesis to Zechariah in 2 Chronicles. Now that is important because it gives the Jewish order of the Old Testament and the books used by the Jews. They had Abel in Genesis, Zechariah in 2 Chronicles. We use a different order, but we use the same books. Orthodox add 4 more books in the Old Testament. Catholics add 11 more books in the Old Testament. At least they have the same New Testament, and that part is good. But Jesus tells us that the Jewish books in the Old Testament were the correct ones. Now, after he gave all these woes, he kept right on talking, but I left it out on purpose. Because we get to the end of Matthew 23, and we'll have what you might call his resignation speech. And Jesus is saying in his own way, I'm done with you. I'm not going to do any more public speaking. He will talk privately after the resurrection to either believers or people that will soon become believers, but he's all done with them. We're at the last few verses of Matthew 23, and we'll read verse 37 through 39. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You're guilty of killing all the prophets. I would have treated you like a mother hen with baby chicks. I don't know where to stop, but there are no chickens in the Old Testament. They were from, say, Thailand and Vietnam and Southeast Asia, and they came over into Persia, and maybe when the Persians had chickens, the Israelites, when they come back after the exile, they bring them. So New Testament has them. Old Testament does not. The main point here, though, is I would have protected you. I would have covered you. I would have taken care of you, but he's done. He will be leaving the temple. He said, your temple will be destroyed. We're going to have next section, not one stone left upon another, and he is leaving. On his way in on Palm Sunday, the crowd said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But very soon, later on that week, they will say, crucify him, crucify him. Later, only later at the second coming, will they repeat, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus will not go back into the temple until then. At that time, he is leaving the temple, and we go on to Matthew 24, verses 1 through 2. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." The disciples said, "What a beautiful building." The Talmud has the same thing. Quote, "Anyone who has not seen Herod's temple has never seen a beautiful building. All purely white stones." Great big heavy ones, by the way. Tons and tons of white stones. Had gold decorations all around, like a golden grapevine, symbolizing Israel, like Isaiah 5, a golden grapevine over the holy place. Disciples point at the temple. Here in Matthew, Mark 13 gives a parallel. "Teacher, behold what beautiful stones, what a wonderful building." And then Luke 21, 5 and 6, 6 especially, quote, "It was adorned with beautiful stones." Jesus' answer in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says, "Not one stone will be left upon another." When will these things be? When will the chief priests be ending? When are they going to get out of the temple? When will the chief priests go into Gehenna? Disciples had questions. When will the king come? What will be the end of the religious temple? And now Jesus begins to talk about the destruction. I will read one more verse before we talk about two times of destruction. Verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." There are actually two different things. When will the temple be destroyed? And when will Jesus come to rule? Now, he's going to go on and talk about world conditions at the second coming. And we are probably more interested in world conditions at the second coming. But this sort of relates to when the book of Matthew was written. The temple was destroyed in the summer of AD 70. Jews celebrated on August 8th. That's when they mark it. It may not be exactly August 8th, but somewhere in July and August. Temple is destroyed. AD 70. If so, when was the book of Matthew written? Liberals like to attack the book of Matthew. They like to say it was written a long time after Jesus was here, and nobody who was alive ever heard him say anything, ever saw anything. I'm thinking of one German author. This is a decade or two ago. He wrote a book. Matthew was written about 110 A.D. It was written 70 or 80 years after Jesus was here. However, when we look at it, the early church fathers, Papias is the guy's name, says that Matthew wrote it, and it was written early. And also within the timing of the book of Matthew, the temple was still standing. So it has to be before AD 70. There were liberal people that did not believe Matthew was written early. And when they studied it, they changed their mind and said it was written while the temple was still standing. It's an old movie, but Peter O'Toole, a long time ago, did a movie about Masada. Masada was a cliff place. And in AD 66, the Jews went up there to hide on the cliffs. And the Romans made them slaves build ramps, made Jewish men build the ramps through catapults up on Masada. Josephus wrote 900 Jews committed suicide. That's an old movie, Masada. Jerusalem destroyed, AD 70. Soldiers set fire to the colonnades. Not a soul escaped, quoting Josephus. The key to the early date of the book of Matthew is the temple was still standing. And there is no reference within the book of Matthew to the temple having been destroyed. Therefore, among these supports, it would say it must have been written while the temple was still standing. It must have been written about AD 70 or before. There are things that Jesus will say, and we will read about them, and they do not fit AD 70. They fit the end times, but they do not fit AD 70. Coming, he will say, don't flee to the mountains. Well, in AD 70, the Romans were on the mountains. If anybody left, they went to a place on the plains called Pella. That's actually where storm windows come from. It's the place where there was a war storm coming to Jerusalem, and the people got out and went to Pella. That is where it comes from. I'm pretty sure the Dutch people who started the town and the place knew about that. But don't go to the mountains. The Roman army was on the mountains. Don't go in the winter. Well, AD 70 was in the summer. It was in August. Pray that your flight not be on Saturday or the Sabbath. Well, the Christians at a later date wouldn't care about traveling on a Saturday. And I've just given some of them, but there are even more supports that the book of Matthew was written while the temple was still standing. The liberal Anglican professor, his last name was Robinson. For some reason, it's J.A.T. Robinson. He wrote a book redating the New Testament. It's hard to find, but I bought it years ago and read it, coming out of Cambridge. And he used to believe that Matthew was written later, but when he looked at all of the evidence, Matthew was written earlier. And that will be enough for that temple destruction. But Matthew was written before AD 70 while the temple was still standing. So it will be torn down, Jesus tells them. And then later, what will be the signs of your coming? And we will start to look at the signs of his coming that he tells them. The first section, verses 4 and following. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, the Anointed One. Hebrew is Messiah. They'll mislead you. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place. But that is not the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there'll be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. When Jesus talked in Matthew 24, he wasn't talking to Christians yet. There will be no church until Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So he's mainly talking to Jewish people. The church will be taken up. Latin is rapturo, rapture. The church will be taken up, 1 Thessalonians 4, taken up before this tribulation period. We are not to be looking for signs. We are to be looking for the Savior. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. 1 Corinthians 16:22, Maranatha, our Lord comes. Almost at the end of the Bible, there's just a couple of verses left, Revelation 22:20, behold, I am coming quickly. So Christians will be taken away before this awful tribulation period. But after the rapture, The world will begin with all unsaved people. But they might remember believers like us. They might see all these Bibles lying around. They might see all these empty church buildings. And they're going to become some believers. Here, he's talking about what will happen to the unbelievers. In the book of Revelation, there are parallels. Revelation has the Christians also kept from the hour. Revelation 3:19. Kept out of the time period. So a pre-tribulational rapture fits. But then Revelation 5 talks about opening the title deed to the world. It says the book, the scroll of seals. But to me it's like, who owns this book? Who can give the final chapters of world history? And the Lamb of God who paid for the world owns the world. He starts to unroll, we'd say, open up the chapters of how it's going to end. And the Lamb of God who owns it, and so in Revelation, the horses started to come out, the horsemen of the apocalypse. Apocalypse means revelation in Greek. The horsemen of the book of Revelation, the riders come out, and they seem to fit right in what in here. The first rider is on a white horse, and he goes forth through the whole world to conquer it, to take over the whole world. And it says here that there will be many who say they are the Anointed One, they are the Christ. A significant one is coming in verse 15, where he is the abomination, and he will sit in the temple demanding worship. So the first horseman goes out to conquer the whole world. That's like here in verse 5, I am the Messiah, I am the Anointed One, I am the world ruler. The second horseman in Revelation 6 is riding a red horse. Speaks of war. I'm sure it speaks of blood. Speaks of killing people each other. Killing each other. He's, quote, taking away the peace on the earth. Well, that will be like the section, verses 6 and 7. Taking away the peace on the earth. And he will say the end time is not just yet, because it seems like the nations will fight each other in the first part of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years, the nations will fight each other. But the last 3.5 years, there will be a dictator. So the nations will not fight each other. They'll be fighting the coming Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a white horse, I am the one to conquer the world, the Antichrist. Then we have the red horse coming to bring blood. There is another horse coming, and he will be coming with scales, a black horse weighing scales, and the scale would be to measure the food and to give inflated food prices. And the black horse refers to famine. Famine will be coming here, and that is mentioned here at the almost final word of verse 7. The fourth and final horse in Revelation 6 is actually Chloros, but it's yellowish and greenish, and not a very happy thing, but basically looks sickly. Yellowish and greenish. And so it speaks of pestilences, plagues in Luke 21:11. We would say pandemics now. We use that phraseology now. So coming will be a dictator. They'll fight for 3.5 years, and he'll take over the world for the last 3.5 years, and famines and earthquakes and plagues. One time, BBC in London actually called me and wanted to know if our church was all worried about being A, next to Pantex, and being worried about the world ending. And I said, absolutely not. We are in the church age. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We will not be here when all of these bad things happen. So we won't be here with the horsemen of the apocalypse. We will be taken up, assuming we have trusted Jesus as Savior. Then there will be the other people that are start out unsaved, but they will know what has happened to the churches and the Christians. There will also be all kinds of tribulation evangelism. Two great witnesses in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We think one will be Elijah, because it talks about in Malachi, and Jesus talks about Elijah coming back. The second one may be Moses. Two great witnesses, and the next section teaches about world evangelism in the tribulation. So let's go ahead and read, and that will be as far as we get today, but evangelism in the next section, 13 and 14, when we get there. Verse 9, we'll continue with persecution. Verse 9, then they will deliver you to tribulation. They will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name's sake. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will go cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Verse 13 says that the one who endures to the end will be saved. It cannot be teaching that salvation is by works. Salvation is by dedication. It cannot be teaching salvation comes by works or dedication. But it is saying those that believe in Jesus, the tribulation will end. There will be a limit to the tribulation. And all people who believe in Jesus will be saved from the tribulation after 7 years and will be saved from their sins by believing in Jesus. The tribulation in the book of Daniel is probably the 70th week. And of the weeks, they're weeks of years. So the tribulation, the full one, is usually taken as 7 years long. And a period of 7 years, first 3.5, all these international wars, last 3.5, actually worse in punishment, but a dictator for the last 3.5 years. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. Gospel is good news. You, like euphoric, good feelings. Angelo, like an announcement, like an angel. Good announcements. The gospel of the cross in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus paid for our sins, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel of the cross. The gospel of the kingdom is related to it, has all those things in it, but a little bit more probably, the king is coming back soon. The king is coming back soon, so that will be announced. The good news throughout all of the world, there is a fake Antichrist, abomination of desolation. Looks like there will be kind of police. And he will have police that when people turn in believers in the tribulation, even their relatives will turn them in. Love for each other will become icy, I think the way we would say it. So we look at the close of Matthew 23. I would have covered you up. I would have taken care of you, but you didn't want anything to do with it. Matthew 24. The temple will be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. In the book of Matthew, the temple was still standing. All of the wording in Matthew, the temple is still standing. So the date for the book has to be before AD 70. Not later, AD 70, or before, probably 50s or 60s. And people who knew Jesus, Matthew is the author. In terms of the end time destruction, it's like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We will look more at the Antichrist or the abomination that makes desolate next time. Will the musicians please come?